Oh, we've had a minor technical difficulty today, but we're still here. PFT Live, using the old school GlowPoint technology to the extent any of you even care. I care, because we want the best, but we'll take whatever we can get. And that pretty much sums up the Browns' attitude toward Josh Gordon, the receiver who is facing a one-year suspension, his appeal hearing coming up on Friday. And we reported on Tuesday that the case against Josh Gordon, not as strong, not as open and shut, not as clear as maybe we were led to believe that it is, barely above the 15 nanograms per milliliter threshold for a marijuana violation on the A bottle. The B bottle, because these samples are split into two bottles, the B bottle is actually below. Luck of the draw, A bottle is above, B bottle is below. He's suspended. If it had been the other way, he would not have been suspended. No, by the way, the World Anti-Doping Agency has increased the permissible marijuana threshold from 15 to 150. If the NFL had done the same thing, Josh Gordon would be in the clear. And the way I look at this, if the policy regarding substance abuse gets interpreted and applied as written, none of these arguments are going to matter because Josh Gordon, in stage three, via an agreement last year that resolved a potential four-game suspension after he tested positive for codeine and cough syrup. He had a two-game suspension, went to stage three. Any violation, and you're in stage three for the rest of your career, any violation results in a minimum suspension of 1 year. It's an open and shut case even with those details. I think the hope is, from Gordon's camp and the NFL Players Association, that whoever from the league office handles this appeal will look at the full scope of the situations, apply fairness and common sense, and say, It's just wrong to throw this guy out of the NFL for a year. He's one of our great young stars. We suspend him. We banish him for a year. He's left to his own devices. He's still got to pass 10, up to 10, drug tests a month. He doesn't have the benefit of the structure and the support of the Browns organization. Not a good situation for anybody if it comes to that. And you just hope that those realities, coupled with the Ray Rice suspension where you get two games for knocking out your fiance, now wife, the potential for a Jim Irsay suspension, the idea that Josh Gordon's getting kicked out of the league for a year due to an apparent addiction to marijuana for marijuana smoking that either did or didn't happen, possibly in the offseason, away from work, it doesn't affect his performance. There's a lot of reasons to not suspend Josh Gordon. And even though the policy seems to suggest all or nothing, I'm told that the commissioner can do pretty much whatever he wants, or whoever handles the appeal can do whatever he or she wants. And they could find a violation and ultimately suspend Josh Gordon for fewer than 16 games. I know there had been some talks about a possible negotiated suspension of less than a year. That's still a possibility. It's also possible, apparently, that the ruling will be he did violate the policy, but he won't be suspended for a full year. We'll know more after Friday when the hearing happens. A decision will be rendered at some point after that. Browns fans everywhere and fantasy football owners waiting patiently or otherwise, to find out whether or not Josh Gordon is going to be available in 2014. Patrick Peterson is available to the Arizona Cardinals for 2014 and 6 years after that. He did a five-year extension of the 2 years left on his existing rookie contract. He becomes the first 2011 first-round draft pick, the first year of the rookie wage scale, the first class of players who made a lot less at the top of round one than players used to make at the top of round one. Peterson is the first one to get paid. And I wonder if this had happened before camps had opened, would other first-round picks from 2011 have been inclined to hold out? Nobody held out. A lot of people around the NFL are shocked that no one held out because these guys got screwed. They got less money under the premise that we don't want guys like Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf to suck a bunch of money out of the system. Fine. Cam Newton, A.J. Green, J.J. Watt, Robert Quinn, Tyron Smith, etc. These guys deserve to get paid. They should have gotten paid 3 years ago. They need to get paid now. Peterson's the first one to do it. On a new money average of $14.01 million, and that .01 is important because it allows him to eclipse Richard Sherman of the Seahawks, who has $14 million in new money, but for various reasons that we'll be exploring later this afternoon on ProFootballTalk.com. We can't overlook the Joe Hayden contract. He has more fully guaranteed money at signing than either Peterson or Sherman. And also, when you look at the total dollars, you look at the structure, you look at the length, Hayden got a pretty good deal. And you can make the argument that Hayden got the best deal out of the three players, but there are different factors, the different ways of looking at the contract. Either way, a good deal for Peterson, primarily because he had 2 years left on his rookie contract. The Oakland Raiders have 1 year left on their lease in Oakland. They had a lease that expired after the 2013 season. They re-upped for 1 year. Owner Mark Davis waiting, not very patiently, for something to get done. And whether it's leverage or otherwise, Davis flirting with San Antonio. He'll never move to San Antonio. That's a prevailing view. But at the same time, if Oakland isn't going to fix the situation that currently has the Raiders playing at a dilapidated stadium with a periodic sewage problem and an infield for baseball that's on the playing surface for roughly half of the NFL season, then Davis eventually is going to try to do something else. And again, with that lease that expires after the 2014 season, in theory, he can try to move. The big impediment here, whether it's a move to San Antonio, L.A., London, that never happened, Portland, anywhere, because Portland wants a team. Portland's making a pitch for the Raiders, kind of at least as a grassroots effort. Mark Davis has to get 23 other owners to agree that he can move. And there's been a view for a while now that if the Raiders would move to L.A., Mark Davis would have to sell the team, or at a minimum, sell controlling interest in the team. You know, it's an exclusive club, and only 32 people are in it. And a lot of times, the ownership passes from one generation to the next, and there's really nothing that the other owners can do about it. They're stuck with the son, the daughter, the wife, whoever, when the owner passes on. And I've picked up a sense over the last couple of years that some owners would prefer not to have Mark Davis in the club. And really, if we go by merit, why should inheritance allow someone to step into this position where there are only 32 of these spots? And just because you were the child or the spouse of the person who actually built the team, founded the team, bought the team, whatever, that shouldn't be good enough. And I feel like, based on everything I've heard, that that's an issue, that if Mark Davis would sell controlling interest, it's going to be a lot easier for him to move the team. And I personally feel like Mark Davis just isn't equipped from a business standpoint to find his way out of this corn maze, that he has plenty of leverage in Oakland. He's not willing to make threats. Well, at some point, you got to make threats. At some point, you got to call it like it is. Hey, folks, if you're not going to give us the stadium we're looking for, we are going to move. And really, the best solution, I know no Raiders fans want this, or at least few Raiders fans want it. 49ers fans don't want it. And that is both teams play at Levi's Stadium, the Field of Jeans in Santa Clara, just like the Giants and the Jets do at MetLife Stadium. So what if it's a 49ers stadium? It was Giants Stadium before it was MetLife Stadium, and the Giants and the Jets played there. It is a beautiful facility, and it's only used 10 days out of the year, preferably more if the 49ers host playoff games, but the Raiders should just play there, and that should be the end of it. But that's never going to happen either. We'll find out what happens as the program transpires. Because of our technical difficulties, we're going to not do the full-blown PFT Planet segment. We are waiting to hear from Kyle Rudolph of the Minnesota Vikings. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and I may wedge in a question or two from the lengthy list of Twitter questions that have been asked today for the PFT Planet segment, and then we'll break quickly when we hear from Kyle Rudolph. We haven't heard from him yet, and we will get Kyle Rudolph on the program, fresh off of that 5-year, $36.5 million extension. So when we come back, we may have Kyle Rudolph. We may not have Kyle Rudolph. There's only one way to find out. Stick around. This is PFT Live. Second-round pick out of Notre Dame 3 years ago. He is now one of the highest-paid tight ends in the National Football League, Kyle Rudolph. Fresh off of a 5-year extension worth $36.5 million, a big contract for a guy with a big upside, and he joins us now again on PFT Live. Kyle, congratulations on the contract. You get that big money, and I know you get asked this question a lot. What's the first thing you buy with that newfound riches?
Well, first of all, I appreciate it. And, you know, the other day in my press conference, I got asked the same question. And I love the truck that I drive, so I'm not going to go out and buy a car. I'm really happy with where I live in Minnesota. And, you know, every time I go back home in the off season, I work out at my high school. And the strength coach that's there has been the same one since I've been there. And, you know, we joke around all the time and be like, yeah, you know, whatever you want in here, whenever I get my new deal, we'll get it done. And, you know, in my press conference, I just said, you know, I'm going to help redo the weight room at my high school. And he saw it, and he had no idea that I was being serious that whole time. So We're going to go back there this offseason and, you know, make sure that we get it as nice as possible for those kids.
Now, have you seen an estimate on what it's going to cost before you make that commitment? Because all of a sudden, the equipment may get a lot nicer if you write an open-ended blank check.
Oh, I'm committed to those kids. So, you know, they know not to take advantage of me too bad. But, you know, we're going to go back there and make sure that they have, you know, the best stuff possible.
Well, that's a great, great gesture. And you say you're going to drive the same truck. Are you going to do anything to spiff it up a little bit, new wheels, new rims, new anything? Or is it going to be the same vehicle it always was?
It's the same vehicle it always was. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not already a fairly nice truck, but I'm going to keep it just the way it is.
You mentioned your coaching staff in high school. You've got a new coaching staff for the first time in your NFL career with the Minnesota Vikings. What's the biggest difference you've noticed so far with Coach Mike Zimmer and offensive coordinator North Turner?
Well, Coach Zimmer, you know, coming in right away, he's been the kind of guy who's brought a ton of energy and enthusiasm to not only the meeting room but out to the practice field. And I really feel like that has trickled down throughout our team here, you know, the first week or so of training camp practices. And then, you know, with the addition of North Turner as our offensive coordinator, I mean, he brings two decades of knowledge and experience and a lot of success on that side of the ball. So, you know, it's awesome to have such great duo of coaches for us on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm extremely excited to work with both of them.
I've heard they're a little louder than maybe you guys are used to at Minnesota. Have you experienced any of that wrath?
They are definitely a little bit more vocal out there on the practice field, but you know, every time I'm asked that question, I just revert back to my childhood. You know, I had very loud parents, so anytime I've had a loud coach in my career, it's just, kind of made me feel right at home.
You said several weeks ago that you have studied tape of tight ends who have played for North Turner, other places he's been. What did you learn from watching the tape of what other tight ends have done in North Turner's offenses?
Well, you know, as a young tight end in the league, I always would love watching, you know, the Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, Tony Gonzalez, but I just studied them as football players. I didn't really know what their scheme was, or, you know, what their role was. Now I had the opportunity to go back and watch all that Gates film again, and, you know, you can see, you know, what he's doing and why he's doing it. And, you know, he has a unique feel of getting in and out of his breaks, and, you know, North puts him in great situations. So, you know, I'm excited to take on that role and, you know, hopefully take it to another level.
You've been with Adrian Peterson now for three seasons. What impresses you most about him?
The most impressive thing about Adrian is, you know, everyone sees what he does on Sundays. And, you know, in our opinion, he's the best running back in football and maybe one of the best of all time. And you don't see what he does, you know, Monday through Saturday, the work that he puts in. He's one of the hardest working guys I've ever been around. And, you know, that is, you know, no coincidence as to why he has so much success on Sundays.
I'm not going to ask you which quarterback you'd like to see start, because I know you're not going to answer. If you want to, though, feel free to blurt it out. My question, though, for you is, do you have a date, a point in the preseason where you would prefer to know who the quarterback is going to be?
Well, I think we're in a great situation, first of all, having two veteran quarterbacks that have, you know, led teams to 10-win seasons and playoff appearances, and then having a young guy that comes in here with a lot of energy and enthusiasm for the position. But, you know, I feel like those guys have done a great job that, you know, obviously as a tight end and the receivers, we would like to know who the guy is as soon as possible so we can work with them. But I feel like those three guys have done a great job too. You know, the starter usually gets majority of the reps, and when you have a competition, those reps are split up. And I feel like these guys have done a great job. And, you know, when they're not out there taking the mental reps and really preparing themselves as if they are the starter.
How was it split up today at practice?
Well, we'll go out this afternoon and, you know, we'll have our normal afternoon practice schedule. So I would assume that, you know, we'll go out there today and it'll be the same way that it's been, you know, throughout training camp with, you know, Matt taking the ones, Teddy taking the twos, and Christian running with the threes.
Now, Teddy Bridgewater, the rookie, comes in, 32nd overall pick in the draft. How has he performed so far, offseason and training camp, in comparison to what you had expected?
Well, you know, Teddy came in right away after the draft and, you know, started working with us before we got out for OTAs and mini camp. And, you know, he's come in and done all the right things. He's a very quiet kid. You know, he goes about his business. He's a very hard worker. And, you know, he's kind of like a sponge at this point. He's, you know, trying to absorb as much knowledge as he can about the position from both of the quarterbacks in his room and also his quarterback coach, Scott Turner, and, you know, our offensive coordinator, North.
We put out a call for questions on Twitter for any Vikings fans that would want to pose questions directly to Kyle Rudolph. And I mentioned earlier you're currently in the top five average salary for tight ends. At SSN365 wants to know how you feel you rank against the likes of a Jimmy Graham, currently the top paid tight end in the NFL.
Well, you know, I've said this in the past and I've been very vocal about it. You know, I go out every day and I work to be the best tight end in the NFL. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of things that make up a tight end. There's a lot of responsibilities and a lot of roles that we have. So, you know, I feel like with our new regime here, you know, our new coaching staff, they're going to give me every opportunity to go out there and prove myself on Sundays as one of the best tight ends in the NFL.
What do you think your ceiling is, Kyle, for catches and yards in this new offense?
I don't think there is a ceiling. You know, Norv does such a great job in providing, you know, not only the tight end, but wide receiver, running back, quarterback. You look back over his last 20 years, he gives guys opportunities to go out there and make plays on Sundays. And, you know, if you're continually doing that, he's going to make sure that he moves you around and puts you in situations to succeed.
Another question came in from at MN Vikings Qs. What's your favorite Vikings memory so far in your 3 years with the team?
I think my favorite Vikings memory so far was the Week 17 win 2 years ago at the Metrodome to clinch a spot in the playoffs.
And how does the Pro Bowl MVP rank for your career moments? I think most people say Kyle Rudolph was Pro Bowl MVP, but you were. How special of a moment was that for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, just kind of like the icing on the cake to a great week. First of all, just having the opportunity to be over there and being named to the roster was an incredible honor. I was able to learn a ton from a lot of the great players in our game, and then to go out there in the game and have the opportunity to, you know, have the ball thrown my way as many times as it was, and being named MVP of the game was, you know, not something I would have dreamed of at any point. And, you know, just to have that opportunity was pretty special for me.
Last one for you comes from at DTodd315. Do you ever get told you look like Todd from Breaking Bad?
I do not watch Breaking Bad, so I wouldn't be able to answer that question, but I feel like I've been given that one before.
You do look like Todd from Breaking Bad. We've got the side-by-side. You are a much larger version of Todd from Breaking Bad. Excellent series, and I highly recommend it whenever you get some free time. You know, that's the best thing about signing your contract during training camp. You don't have any free time to go out and blow your money.
Exactly. You know, I got a lot of people talk to on, I guess it would have been Sunday night when this all got done, and everyone's like, so what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to go to bed. I have a 7:15 lift in the morning.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. I know it's a busy time of the year for you. Wish you all the best going forward in your career, and congratulations on your great success so far, culminating in that new contract. We'll be watching how things unfold for the Vikings in 2014 and beyond. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, there he is, Kyle Rudolph, one of the five highest paid tight ends in the NFL right now. We know this always changes, and the market changes, and the market fluctuates, and the Vikings making the investment on Kyle Rudolph, assuming that they have bought low and that he's going to have a big year this year, and it's better to do that now than after he has the big year, because then it gets a lot more expensive. So a fair number for both sides, a good number for Kyle Rudolph, and he can go forward with his career in an offense that may be feeding him the football a lot more than he has seen it in the past. This show is now in the past. We appreciate you hanging with us through some technical difficulties early in the broadcast. When you see me tomorrow, well, first you got to watch PFT on NBCSN tonight, but tomorrow PFT Live will be coming to you from White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia Saints training camp at the Greenbrier. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. NFL team actually training in my home state. We'll see what's up with the Saints. We'll be talking to some of the folks who are covering the Saints in New Orleans. We'll be doing some interviews of players and coaches and whatnot that we will be playing both on this program and on PFT on NBCSN. But check us out tonight, 5:30 Eastern time. We take a close look at the 49ers and the Patriots in training camp, all the latest news of the day, and all the news all the time around the clock at ProFootballTalk.com. Thanks for joining us. See you back here tomorrow.